It's Thursday, March 2nd, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we nominally talk about bad movies, but we also cover quite a bit of other stuff.
Let's do this!
So it snowed today.
I didn't go to work because it snowed.
I went to work, and no one else went to work. So all my meetings were canceled, and I left early.
Yeah, things are going to work tomorrow. But I'd probably leave early as I can.
Yeah, the sad thing was, driving home, I expected, you know, oh, there'll probably be an accident on the freeway, I'll be stuck forever. But no, the freeway was fine, there was no traffic. I made it most of the way home. And I got on a little road that goes to our actual house. And I saw this huge traffic backup. And I'm thinking, great, there's an accident. No, there was no accident. There was literally a little old lady in a little old car driving as slow as her car would go.
As
at the front of this line of traffic.
He was just rolling?
I figure, it, like, you know how you sit in a car, an automatic transmission car that's not that good, especially older ones, and they'll just kind of go if you don't touch the gas pedal or the brake.
Well, that's supposed to happen.
Not so much. It shouldn't, like, my laser, it had a problem, and it would go, if you just let it, it would get to about 25, 30 miles an hour.
Oh, that's too fast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, cars idle at, you know, very, like, 1,000-something RPM, maybe, less than 1,000 RPMs, and, you know, if they're in gear... they'll roll forward.
You realize that in gear is a vague term when it comes to automatic transmissions, right?
Yeah, but
there's the
slip. If you're driving an automatic transmission and the stick is at the D or the OD, that's in gear, technically.
No, here's the thing. It's not engaged because you know how when it's in D, even if you hit the brake, the engine's not just pushing against the brakes so much. It moderates itself.
Yes, I know.
Now, it's
but
called
the point
the slip.
Is if the stick is in D and you're not stepping on the gas, it'll still roll. Unless you're going up a hill, then it won't.
A good car won't move so much.
No,
it depends on the slip.
It won't
threshold.
Move so much, but it will move.
Yeah, my car doesn't actually.
Not at all.
It'll move a tiny, tiny bit.
Yeah,
but if it's cold, it won't move at all. And you know, it's not really fully in gear because you can resist the car's forward movement, and it'll just make the transmission heat up.
Yep.
But anyway, this lady was probably just driving without touching the gas or the brake and letting her car pull her along. She was going less than 5 miles an hour.
Okay, wow. Like,
I spent
no
more
matter
time...
what the conditions are, if I'm driving on the rockiest, no pavement mountain pass in the middle of the desert, but it's snowing and there's a hurricane, I will still go 5 miles an hour. I mean...
yeah, it was terrible. I spent more time... I could see my house... but I couldn't get to it because I was behind this little old lady and all these people were behind this little old lady. And I saw it was a little old lady because she finally turned out of our way and we all go on and I drive and she hasn't gotten far at all. And I could see the white hair coming up as I drove past her.
Shouldn't be allowed to drive. That's all I'm going to say. Listen to our driving episode from a week ago.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be allowed to drive.
So a while back, all the ISPs and media companies have started talking about how they wanted to... in some way, either provide better speed to their customers or to people who pay them more money, you know, that sort of thing. Like Comcast wanted to say, slow down voice over IP traffic, but then speed up its own voice over IP or another voice over IP that wanted to pay Comcast money.
Yep.
And all the companies saw, hey, we can make a lot of money with this. And they were really going forward with it like it was a good thing. And it's actually a very bad thing for reasons we don't need to get into. We've talked about it.
Basically, everyone other than the phone companies said it was a bad thing.
Yeah, and not even the phone company. It's just the providers, like Comcast.
Yeah, the major ISPs of evil, who yeah. own lots and lots of fiber and such.
And it looked like AOL Time Warner thought it was a good thing, too.
Yeah, geniuses.
But anyway, we won't talk about the details because we've talked about it more than once on the show already. Now, Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon...
don't even know who he is.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him before, but he's fairly smart, and he basically said that this is crap, and Congress should pass a law saying that you can't do that. And they've got a law, and we'll see if it goes through Congress or not, but it'll basically prevent the ISPs from doing exactly this.
Actually, I was watching you know, a few videos of like committees, you know, of senators doing stuff. And a lot of people watch C-SPAN and they say, oh, Congress doesn't do shit. You know, what are they doing? If you watch committee meetings, like when they meet to talk about stuff, all the senators are like actually smart and doing shit. You might not like what they're doing, but they're doing shit.
Well, the Senate and the House are two very different beasts. Well, they were intended to be two very different beasts, but over time they've merged. The House was intended to be kind of a high turnover, you know, local issues, advocating for your constituents, whatever. Now, most people don't seem to know this. In fact, no one at my work knew it because I said something about it and no one believed me and I had to show them.
I know what you're going to say and I've known it since middle school.
Yeah, but it's scary how many Americans don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to show them in the Constitution, in the amendments, where it was changed. But until recently, well, not recently, but until recently, historically at least, senators were not elected. Senators were appointed by the state legislature.
Yep. So you would vote for your, each state has its own government, you know, your state government, your governor and your state Congress and whatnot. And you would vote for that, you know, based on what state you lived in. So if you're in New York, you vote for whoever. And then those people you voted for in New York would just pick their own senator, whoever they wanted. They didn't have to pick who you wanted. They could pick, you know, someone you hated. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
It was a good way, too.
Well, in some ways. I mean, part of the reason it was overturned is that there was a lot of corruption in this process.
There was quite a bit of corruption.
The Senate was known as
the
Millionaires Club because only millionaires became senators.
Yes, but the solution to corruption is not to change the system, but to just, you know, justice. Increase justice.
You can change the system, too, to make corruption less feasible or less lucrative.
Yeah, but then you don't want to, you know, the point of having this was to have,
Well, this is a tangent anyway.
Yeah.
But the point is that the Senate, they tend to be more long-term people. Someone would be on the Senate for many terms, and senators specialize. So the Senate's broken up into all these committees, and each committee will have a bunch of senators on it, and they won't know much about all the other things the Senate does, but they'll be experts on their thing. Or at least they're supposed to be experts on their thing. Some people are, some people aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty funny because I was watching the Commerce, Technology, whatever committee, and they were talking about the broadcast flag on radio, and the head of the committee didn't know what the hell was going on. He just kept asking questions and trying to understand, and the smart congressman on the side, who was all active on this issue, was, you know, talking it up, and the three experts they had testifying towards before the committee were all talking it up. And the head guy was like, I don't know. And he just kept asking dumb questions so he could try to understand what the hell they were talking about.
Now, Senator Wyden definitely seems to, he might not know the technology. I mean, I don't know much about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a quote here from him that seems to tell all. The net has always been about access and equal treatment and giving everyone a fair shake. And people who own these fat pipes, these cable and telecommunications people who say that they can't keep doing this, want to undermine that.
Yeah. What it really comes down to is we're paying them for bandwidth. Everyone else is paying them for bandwidth. Everyone pays once. You can't make anyone pay twice. Just, you know, shut up.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of it. I hope the bill passes. Apparently, it's got support from 16 Republican senators. So it's definitely not a partisan issue. I don't think anyone in Congress, unless they've been bribed, will want to go against this.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's just going to go right through. I mean, How could you vote against something like this? It's just, you'd have to be evil. That's really, if anyone explains it to you and you understand what they explained, how could you, what are you thinking if you vote yes?
Yeah, and if you don't know what we're actually talking about in detail, read the link. It'll tell you everything.
Yep.
The only reason we're not going to talk about it is we've talked about it multiple times already.
Mm-hmm. So, ABC, which is the major network owned by Disney that shows, you know, I don't know what they show, because I don't watch TV.
Yeah, I know. You're like that guy on FARC who tells everyone he doesn't watch TV.
Yeah.
Let it go. We know you don't watch TV. We don't care.
Yep. So, apparently, you know, everyone puts their shows on iTunes these days and sells them for like $3. ABC is going to try to, they're not doing it yet, but they're going to in the future. They've said so. They're going to put some shows on iTunes and give them away for free, but they're going to throw some commercials in there. And I say, woohoo! We'll just fast forward through those commercials, baby. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. I can't run iTunes. Well, I can't easily access iTunes in Linux.
No, but it does run in Wine, and a lot of people have it working. I couldn't get it to work.
Yeah, I couldn't get it to work.
Other people got it to work. But the point is now you can, you'll be able to get the TV shows, download them. Someone else can just give you the files or whatever, you know? You won't actually have to have iTunes. You just use a QuickTime player, probably.
I guess the key is, are there any shows I want to watch?
You know, they didn't actually say which shows, you know.
Because honestly,
at least they didn't say finally which shows that they're going to show.
I mean, to tie into today's episode a bit, I mean, there are TV shows that are good. I mean, I like Arrested Development. Freaks and Geeks was cool, all that, but...
I like The Simpsons.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not going to watch them on TV, and I really don't want to download them, because honestly, Netflix, I can just get the whole DVD season, whatever, and just watch it at my leisure.
Well, here's the thing, is that you can already torrent all these things, right? So, what's the reason to get them on iTunes with commercials instead of torrenting them? They're going to have to, like, put the episodes out faster than the torrents come out, or higher quality than the torrents, or...
The torrents are already DVD quality, easy to find, very fast,
yeah, they're
commercial
gonna have
free.
To, they're going to have to, like, put them out before the episodes are on TV or something, or else what's going to be the point of this? I mean,
their entire, like, all of Family Guy torrents just out there everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, you know, we say this, you know, what's the point, this torrents? But they're selling the episodes with no commercials for a few dollars, and people are buying those, you know. Not everyone, people are still torrenting, but people are buying them, so, and those have no commercials. So if these have fewer commercials than on TV, someone's going to be downloading them for free. I mean, a lot of people are going to be downloading them for free. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, we'll see. But see, now here's the thing is, for someone like me, who doesn't watch television, if there's a show...
Yeah. Let me guess, you don't watch television.
Yep.
So you don't watch television.
If they come out, you know, I don't go around looking for torrents of shows because, you know, that's for anime I do, but for other stuff, no, not really. But if a show is free on iTunes and I'm bored, I'll download the first episode and, like, skim through it.
Ah, that's a good point.
You know, so I might...
I mean, honestly, that's the only way we found out about shows now. Like, Arrested Development, which, even you admit, it was enjoyable.
It's all right.
Now, the thing is, I never would have even thought to see this show.
Steve-O!
Like, the show would have just been completely off my radar. But a friend of ours really liked it and brought it over, and we watched it on DVD, and I discovered that, oh, it's actually really funny and cool. Mm-hmm. But I never would have found that out on my own.
Yep.
Now, if I could just download random shows for free... I think I would watch, now that Scott mentions it, at least one episode of anything before I knocked it.
Yeah, so, plus now, when, the other thing is, because I don't watch TV, yeah.
Yeah, you don't watch TV.
Right. I don't know what people talk about. Like, people say stuff, and I go, what the hell do you mean?
Actually, what's scary is, my people at my work, they don't even talk about the TV shows, but often, they'll ask, hey, did you see that ad for blah, blah, blah?
Whoa.
And then they talk about the funny ad they saw.
Wow.
Yep.
But yeah, now maybe I can, like, in my spare time between listening to podcasts, I can watch an episode of this or episode of that, and at least I won't watch more. If I don't like it, I won't watch any more episodes. But when someone's talking about something, I'll be like, oh, I know what you're talking about. And then I'll be able to insult them more if it was crap and nod my head if it was something good. You know? As opposed to going, huh? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Yeah. So
the fucking snakes on a plane.
So I think it's generally good for them to break their TV shows into the non-TV watching people like me.
Well, we'll see how quickly the advertisers get pissed when they realize that people will just fast forward through the ads.
Yeah, but I think... ABC might have a good racket going because it'll be great for us and be great for ABC and it'll be bad for advertisers. They won't know it because they have no way of knowing even now with television how many people buy their stuff because of ads.
In fact, not only that, but see, before the internet and the whole... I mean, there was a time when there weren't pop-up ads on the internet. For all you youngins who don't realize this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when if you saw an ad on the internet, it was like, whoa, an ad. This site must be like professional. They've got ads.
Or this site is some drecky people trying to make money. I'm not going to them.
But when the internet came, I mean, before the internet, advertisers didn't really question that their ads were effective. And there was really no real evidence as to how effective ads really were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the companies would pull out statistics, but future recent studies have shown that a lot of those statistics were just made up or not entirely true.
Yeah, there is no... I mean, we're pretty sure that when Coke runs a giant ad campaign, that it somehow gets people to buy more Coke. But there is no 100% sure evidence. I mean, for all we know, Coke could just stop advertising altogether and close their advertising division entirely, and the same amount of Coke would still get sold. That we don't, you know.
So when the internet came, they had ads. The thing is, you could click on an ad. Mm-hmm. And they could count how many people clicked on it. So the advertisers suddenly said, hey, Now we can see exactly how many people are clicking on an ad. We'll know exactly how effective that ad is. And then they discovered that almost no one clicked on ads.
Yep.
And then they discovered that, oh, people just fast forward through ads. Oh, people don't watch ads. Oh, shit.
Well, except for your coworkers.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know about that. But at least younger people, not to discriminate, but younger people seem to be more ad resistant.
Here's the other thing, though, is...
except little kids who will buy anything that's shown to them on TV.
Of course, but, like, I remember some funny ads from when I did watch TV. Like, I remember the classic one was the Budweiser
Wacky
frogs.
Waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But I remember those Budweiser frogs were a big deal.
Yeah,
know?
Or remember, Wazza!
I think so.
It was a bunch of guys going, Wazza!
I also remember that the Bud Ice, when Bud Ice was still around, and they had that penguin, and the penguin would say, doobie, doobie, doo.
Oh, God, that brought back memories of middle school.
Yeah, so I remember that, but I don't drink alcohol, so I guess their ad didn't work. I mean, they gave me something to remember and talk about, but they didn't sell me anything.
Well, I guess the funny part there is that I remember the doobie, doobie, doo penguin. But I had no
idea.
I also
remember the doobie doobie doo penguin.
I had no idea what product they were selling until you said it was some kind of beer.
It was Bud Ice. It no longer exists.
Oh, good.
They had, you know, they were trying to add a new type of Budweiser. That was, and I don't know.
All right, I'm not going
to. You can't ask me because I never drank it.
Well, I guess my feelings on American beer, there's no beer in America. But
my
anyway.
Feelings on all beer are the same. Tastes bad, makes you drunk.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo!
Beer. Woo! Hot ladies. Beer and hot ladies. That's what it's about.
So we normally don't report on actual real news in the world.
Well, we have actual real news?
Yeah. It came up because I saw it online out of the blue because I actually read, you know, real news. And if we wanted, we could probably do a real, like, political news show instead of Geek Nights and have just as much to talk about because we're fairly opinionated.
Yeah. I read Google News, but that's about it. You know, I try to get the big things, but I don't really care about all the other crap.
Yeah, well, I read Google News, but I read it fairly thoroughly, and my custom Google News page has like 20 categories in it, just like catching various types of stories I'm interested in.
Oh, I just like eliminated the health category, and I added and the famous people category, and I added like 4 categories at the bottom.
Well, I have categories
sports
like
and nerdiness,
like this and this and this, or this not this not this not this, and usually there's not even a story in there. I'm waiting in case there's a story about it, so I'll know.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway, this story, I guess it fits into geekery, partly because of what it's about, but two, it's just something that really kind of bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think this sort of thing needs to get more press. But in Kenya, and this is very recent, and I think it hit Boing Boing or something.
Now, Kenya's not like one of those backwater African countries. It's sort of, you know, it's a pretty good place. You know, it's not scary. There's no genocide I know of.
Though, when I lived in Michigan way back when I was in elementary school and I was a Cub Scout, I had a friend who had come from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him telling me that Kenya was a horrible place and that he never wanted to return.
Oh yeah, well it's not, I'm not saying it's fantastic. It's far from it. But it's not like
Rhodesia.
Darfur and what's the other place? Rwanda. You know, it's like one of those step up. It's a little bit less than Nigeria, where all the scammers come from.
Now, I'm curious as to where you're getting this knowledge as to how nice Kenya is. I mean, do you know anything about Kenya?
No, this is entirely based on the internet, so don't believe anything I say.
Scott, where is Kenya?
It's in the middle of Africa.
In the middle, eh?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit north, a little bit south, dead center? Okay, anyway.
Hold on, I'm getting
so
that.
So in Kenya,
it's on the right, under next to Somalia, I think, under Ethiopia.
All right. So anyway, what happened was in Kenya, the newspapers and the media had been reporting on a lot of government corruption, because the government is fairly corrupt, and they'd been reporting on it.
Wow, our newspapers don't report when our government's corrupt. Well, maybe that's because it would fill the newspaper every day.
Yeah. So anyway. And it looks like some government officials lost an election as a result of this. Or at least they blame the loss of the election on this bad press.
Ooh.
So what did the government do? They ordered the police to raid all these newspapers, burn all their newspapers, destroy their printing presses, arrest all the reporters, and destroy everything.
Wow.
Now,
how
Now, here's the scary thing.
You're not even trying to hide it. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not going to say I agree with it, but this sort of thing happens from time to time in nations, and usually it's kind of secret, like the government will hire, you know, a mob to do it or something.
Or the company will just go bankrupt.
Yeah, but no. Here's a quote. This is from the Interior Security Minister, John Michuki. He said, quote, in English, if you rattle a snake, you must be prepared to be bitten by it. And then in Swahili, he said that this police raid was necessary to demonstrate state authority. It was a show of force.
Well, they sure showed force.
Yeah, police officers armed with AK-47s busted in, said it was a raid without a warrant, and then destroyed everything.
How can you... I mean, you busted up a newspaper because it was turning the people against you. So what do? You bust up the newspaper and to make more people turn against you. And it's just like, how can you make more bad press? What you want to do is you want to lie and say, no, there is no corruption. Don't listen to that crazy lying newspaper. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, apparently 7 ministers lost elections or were fired or something. I don't know all the details. I don't know much about Kenyan politics. But this, not only that, the reporters that were arrested are probably going to be tried and jailed.
Wow.
Now, I'd say, why aren't the people up in arms about this? But who's going to report on it? How are they going to know?
Well, I think there's other newspapers, but those other newspapers aren't opposed to the government. They're, you know, I guess they're tool newspapers.
Or in the very least, they're not going to report on it now, because, let's see, that newspaper reported on it and got burned down. I'll let it slide.
Well, if they were badass real newspapers, they would.
There aren't many badass newspapers left.
They'd get their pirate newspapers out on the street.
I mean, I it's funny. I got to say it, but Al Jazeera is one of the few news agencies left in this world that has balls.
Yeah, at least according to that movie we watched.
Yeah, well, I've read more about him. I mean, for what they're not any more biased than the Western media are, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're just biased in a different direction.
Yep.
But at least, I mean, they'll stand there in the war zone and just take pictures of it.
Yep.
All right, so things of the day. My thing was kind of obscure when I found it, but it exploded all over the internet before we did the episode tonight.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happened. Usually this is the kind of thing you see on like one website in the back corner. Like, here's a crazy old video game no one ever got.
I mean, I saw it because someone linked to it from a thread about something else in FARC. And then now it's on Boing Boing, it's on Slashdot, is everywhere. But I swear to you all, it was a unique, not easy to find thing of the day when I said something about it. Or when I found it. But anyway.
Yeah, I found it this morning, and then by the afternoon it was everywhere. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
But anyway, Penn and Teller of the famous, you know, Penn and Teller show and bullshit and all that.
Their awesome magic show. And
they're also awesome skeptics.
Yep.
Well, they have this video game that they made a long time ago.
For what system?
The Sega CD.
And what other system?
It was for another system.
I think they said something about the 3DO.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
God.
Awesome. So, systems that no one had anyway.
And apparently the game is one of those meta games where it's a stupid, funny game, but it's not really a game. I mean, here's an example of this game. Someone said that apparently if you pause the game, it forces you to watch like this 2-minute movie that's just dumb every time you try to unpause it to punish you or something.
Well, that's kind of crazy, but actually the Sega CD was all about that because the Sega CD was, you still had a 16-bit Sega Genesis, but you had 640 megabytes of software. So what they did is they filled it up with videos and CD audio.
Yep, I remember playing, I think it was called Sewer Rats.
Yep, that was one of these launch games, I think.
Because I remember that it came out, I went to Funko Land because I wanted to try this game. And it was probably the worst game I've ever actually played.
No, I was there are worse games.
All right, let me put it this way. This is one of those games.
Mountain bike, whatever.
I was going to say, it's a lot like that mountain biking game.
Oh, my God.
In that I could not control where I was going, and I wasn't sure if any buttons I was hitting had anything to do with my success in the game.
Wow.
It's a lot like that.
But the Sega CD, it's like they had the space to store videos, and they had the space to put CD quality audio, like actual full audio, like a CD. Yeah, because it was a CD.
So one of the game. Well, you can continue.
Yeah, but the games themselves, since they concentrated mostly on the video and the audio, were a lot worse than Sega Genesis games, and they really didn't have the ability to be much better.
Yeah, there was the Sherlock Holmes game where it was basically just you watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this Penn & Teller game, it's, I guess its claim to fame is that one part of it is called Desert Ride or Desert Bus. And it was like part of this Vera simulator. And they talked about how realistic it is. And basically, it simulates you driving a bus through the deserts of Nevada for 8 hours and then 8 hours back. All right. You do it in real time. It literally takes 8 hours and then 8 hours.
Can you save?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. All I know is it's a straight road in the Nevada desert. And apparently every now and then you'll see a cactus go by and that's it.
Okay, so I'll just, you know, put something on the A button and walk away.
Apparently the bus drifts to the right. And if you don't keep steering it back to the left, it'll crash and you'll lose.
So if you crash, you have to start over again at the beginning of the 8 hours?
I believe that's the case.
Wait, so who, has anyone actually completed this?
I don't know.
Was there anything after this 8 hour bus drive in the game?
The rumor out there is that if you completed it, you got 1 point toward completing the game, whatever that meant.
So you could kind of choose things to do and get points towards
the game? I guess.
I
think the game, I mean, I haven't played it. I'm just going off of what I've read in the heart threads.
I downloaded it, but I either need a Sega CD or I need a Sega CD emulator.
It seems that it's a lot like the old Monty Python games where you kind of just do a whole bunch of random stuff.
Oh, those.
That's my best guess.
I have one of those. It's pretty good.
Once we get this game going and we figure out how to play it, we're going to play it and we'll report back.
Wow, okay, it's crazy. So, my thing of the day, a lot of people have a little trouble waking up in the morning. I mean, I know I'm guilty of wake up, turn off the alarm, sleep, wake up too late.
I did that today, in fact. I woke up thinking, well, first of all, I stayed up till like 3.
Why did you stay up till 3?
Don't ask. So then, I decide, all right, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. It's supposed to snow a hell of a lot. I'll wake up at 7, I'll see the snow, and I'll just go back to bed. I wake up at 7, I look out the window, there's no snow.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, and I was like, there's no snow, but I could see the snow was going to be there soon. And I said, you know what, I have to drive home, so I'm going to delay myself an hour. I'll wait an extra hour before I leave the house. And good enough, by the time the hour was over, there was some snow, and I said, yup, if I were to go to work, I would get there just fine, but getting home would suck ass, so I didn't go.
Now, me, I looked out the window and laid back in bed thinking, God damn it. Well, God damn it. Now I got to go to work. And then I fell asleep and I woke up 2 hours later.
Awesome.
And then I drove to work in the snow because while, you know, snow, whatever, I live like 10 minutes away from my job.
Yeah, if I lived 10 minutes, I would have gone to work as soon as I woke up. Just whoop. No question.
Yeah, so I got there to find that no one else came to work and I did a little work and all my meetings were canceled and I came home, like I said earlier. By the time I tried to drive home, it had snowed a hell of a lot.
Yep, so I was correct in my assessment of not going to work. But the point is that if you have this problem where you wake up and your alarm wakes you up, but then you turn it off and you fall back to sleep and you're screwed, and you can't seem to get into the habit of using the snooze button to, you know.
The snooze button is evil.
Yeah.
Don't use it. It'll just make your life miserable.
Actually, lately I've been using the snooze button because I've never used it before in my life, and now I can use it, and it works, because I've never used it before. But as soon as it stops working, I'm going to stop using it. That way I can keep its effectiveness.
What effectiveness? All I find is I lay bed, I wake up, and I'm at, there are either two states. Either, well, I guess three states. I want to get up and I can get up. I don't want to get up, but I can get up. I neither want to get up and I don't want to get up and I can't get up.
Well, you see, when I wake up, I usually get up enough and then I used to turn the alarm off. And then I would lay back down sometimes if I didn't get up right away. And then, because the alarm wouldn't go off again, I was done. Forget it.
Ah.
I lose.
See, most people use the snooze button as they're laying there, and the alarm goes off, and they hit it, and then they think, all right, I can sleep for 9 more minutes, and then I'll get up. And then they hit it, and then they sleep for 9 more minutes, and then they hit it, and then they sleep for 9 more minutes, and then an hour goes by.
Oh, no. See, what I do is when the alarm goes off, my brain says, I'm up, I'm going. But sometimes I'm going to lay back. And if I start to lay back, I hit the snooze button. And that way, you know, in 10 minutes, I get another shot at it. And I've never done it more than twice. Like, by the second try on the snooze, I'm always up. But anyway, the point is, people have this problem. There are a lot of solutions to this problem. there was one person who made something called Clocky.
Oh, is that the clock that jumps off your table
it's
and
like
runs
little,
around
it's
the room?
It's a clock with carpet and wheels, and it, when the alarm goes off, it zips around the room and finds a hiding space, and it makes a loud noise. You have to go and find it. And there's another one that's a helicopter. So as soon as the alarm goes off, this little helicopter takes off and flies around your room, and you have to go get it. But there's one today that I thought was really good. At the top of the clock are four puzzle pieces. And one of them is part of the clock. But the other three, when the alarm goes off, you know how perfection goes pop? It just pops these puzzle pieces out, and they fly around the room, and you have to go collect them and put them back into the slots in the correct, you know, fashion in order to get the alarm to shut up. So you're guaranteed to get up. If the alarm is loud enough, because I haven't heard it, obviously, this thing is guaranteed to get you up because there's no way that you can find those puzzle pieces wherever they went, and put them back correctly in the top of the clock without being awake.
See, I've had friends who would put the alarm clock across the room, and they would quite literally get up, walk over, turn the alarm off, walk back to the bed, and fall asleep without even remembering
it. I found the distance doesn't really help so much, unless it's a really long distance. And I like to have it close, because that way I can look at it more easily, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can't see very far with your eyes, like, one half a millimeter open.
I love that time if you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't expect to, and you're not fully awake, but your eyes are working, and you know, you kind of stare at the clock, but you can't figure out what those symbols mean.
Yeah, I've had that. Or like you see the time, and you know the numbers of the time, but you don't know the time.
You don't know what that means.
Yeah, you're not really quite fully digesting the numbers.
Yep. The worst is when you wake up at a time that you didn't expect to wake up, and
oh,
you
God.
Can't figure out what time it really, you know, like you wake up and it says like 3 something, and you're like, you're staring at it like, did I sleep till 3? Or did I wake up at 3?
Yeah, stuff like that. Oh God.
One time I actually woke up at like 7 o'clock at night, and I thought it was 7 in the morning, and that I had accidentally slept through the previous day.
I can always tell the story about how I went to Washington, D.C. for a week on a trip in 8th grade, and I came back, and I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning, and I, you know, I ate breakfast and whatnot, and then I went back to sleep because I was so tired. Then I woke up again, and my family was gone, and I thought that I had slept through the second night into the next day, and I ate breakfast again, when it was actually just the afternoon of that day. So,
wasn't there a friend Greg who stayed up for like 18 hours playing Final Fantasy and thought it was like night? He thought it was morning. It was actually the next night. Or I forget that story.
I don't know. It happens all the time. And yeah. Hopefully the puzzle clock will save you.
Yeah, at least for a month. And then your brain, your muscle memory, will figure out how to find the pieces, put them together, and put you back to sleep.
Dude, if you can do that, we got to upgrade to like the 8-piece puzzle. And then eventually we'll have like a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you'll be just like, put it right back together.
If only I could train myself to wake up and do my job for me.
Dude, that would be the best. Like an alarm clock that like has your job done for you, and it undoes your job, and then you have to do it, and then you can go back to bed.
I could technically do that. I could just set up a bash script that would break a random thing on my computer and make a noise until I fix it.
Hmm.
I mean, my job's IT, so that's the closest thing I could do.
Yeah, it might damage your computer, though. Like, delete a file. Oops.
Yeah, I can imagine an alarm blaring at 6 in the morning, and I'm trying to recreate, like, my NTP.com.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a little going too far.
All right, so anyway, we're like we said...
Wait. I just had thought.
Okay.
What if a doctor did that? It hurts someone, and you have to heal them. That's bad.
That's silly.
Yeah.
You're like Gabe with his analogies.
I thought of a great one. I'm going to make this. You ready?
All right. We'll see if you make it.
Check it out.
We'll see if you're a shit talker.
We'll see if I'm probably going to be a shit talker.
Yeah, but all right. Let's hear it.
So you get a Game Boy or something, and the alarm goes off. Won't shut up until you beat a level or something. The DS has an alarm. Maybe we can hook that up, you know?
Yeah, if we get a flash card or a dev kit or something.
Yeah, like, you wake up, you know, the DS is making a shit ton of noise, because that thing can get loud, you know? Ooh, a cell phone could do this too, actually, because they have alarms in video games. And then there's, like, a hard video game thing, and until you do it, it won't shut up.
Beat Cutman in Mega Man 1.
Yeah, that kind of thing would be really good. Or, like, beat 1-1 in Mario, and then every day you get a different Mario level.
Or even just a short one, like a WarioWare game.
Dude, that would be great. Because freaking, you know, you could beat a video game like that, where if you had to do a level every morning, or, like, You had to do one level of Tetris every morning, and it got harder every single day until you died.
Though if the game were Final Fantasy Tactics, I'd kill myself.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that next
week. Yeah. Or actually, you could train that in with, you know, there's those train your brain games that are going to come over here.
I think they're coming over real soon.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a huge market for that, especially for like older people who want, you know, to train their brain.
Yeah, actually, when you actually see what these puzzles are, I don't think we're going to be too interested in them.
No, we're not, but other people will.
Yeah.
But I could see games like that for people like us in the future. Like, I'd love to see a DS game that was, you know, learn Japanese.
Yeah,
something like that. But imagine if you had to wake up in the morning, and like, say you're doing the Learn Japanese one. You wake up, and your DS is making noise, and you have to, like, it shows you a word, you have to write it in hiragana in order to make it shut up.
You know what we should do? We should make a computer program for the PC or whatever, called, like, Morning Exercises, and you can, like, they will sell different expansions for different kinds of exercises, and that way you can force yourself every morning to do certain things, and you can program in how many minutes you want to spend doing it so you don't mess up your morning routine. So you can be like, I want to spend 5 minutes every morning improving my, you know, puzzle-solving skills in this kind of puzzle. And then maybe you're, you know, get one of those chess puzzles or a word search or a crossword, and it'll, you know, make you spend 5 minutes doing crossword every morning, and you'll get better and better at it.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
And it won't shut, and the thing is, it won't shut up until you do it, because, you know, that's what gets you up in the morning.
That's the kind of thing we could actually do in our spare time.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do it. Now all you listeners out there just heard this. Now, this illustrates a good point about Scott and I.
About shit-talking.
Yeah, that we have conversations like that. We probably had 4 or 5 of them today, and we forget about them immediately. But now, because we're in front of these microphones, all of you out there just heard our shit-talking. So you can call us on it when we don't do this.
Yep.
But I think we should try to do it.
I think the DS is, or a cell phone is really the best.
Well, consider this. We can't get a dev kit from Nintendo just because we're not a company. We don't have any established whatever.
We can get one of those little flash cart DS thingies. A lot of people, there's already Linux running on the damn things.
Yeah. But say we made a demo of this game on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Nintendo and said, hey, look at this. We could do that for the DS.
Maybe.
Give us a dev kit.
Maybe.
And we'll you can have all the profit, whatever. We just want to make these games.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for it.
Yeah, all right. We'll see if we're shit talkers.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think I see something coming out of your mouth. Oh, it smells like poo. It's brown.
Hopefully Sony will send us some Krispy Kremes.
All
right, so we've gone long on just about everything else, but that's fine.
Because we did that on purpose.
Yeah, partly because our topic today, yesterday we thought, oh, it's great, we'll talk about terrible movies. Then we realized we don't have much to say about them.
Well, let's say what we got to say about terrible movies now.
All right, so Speed 2 is a bad movie.
Yeah, so the movie industry in America lately has been making, like, the percentage of movies that are just no good has been increasing steadily.
Garfield, Catwoman, Kangaroo Jack, Snakes on a Plane,
yeah.
Garfield, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo.
Yeah, a sequel to Deuce Bigelow. I mean, come on, what the hell?
I think there was a Speed 3.
What the hell?
I know Disney's making Bambi 2.
What the hell? Isn't that going to be on VHS, though? They make everything on VHS.
Yeah, I know. I saw, like, Aladdin 7 or whatever.
What? I thought there were only 3 Aladdins.
I know there's at least 3. I think there's a 4th one.
Oh, my God.
I know there are at least 12 Land Before Times.
Oh, my God. See, I think what it is they don't want it. Movies are more and more expensive to make these days, and they want to put less and less risk when they make them, so they won't do anything outlandish. So they end up doing the same crap over and over again because there are enough stupid people to pretty much pay for the crap, like, just barely.
Now, the reason we decided to talk about this is that, now, the thing we're about to talk about has been around on the internet for a long time, over a year. It's called Snakes on a Plane. And the basic story...
Goddamn!
Motherfucking snakes on a plane!
Yeah.
So, and there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. All right, so to sum it up, because this is all over the internet, if you haven't seen it by now, I hate to say it, but if you don't know about Snakes on a Plane already, I don't care how hip you are, you're not with the internet. At least not as a technorati kind of person. Now, I'm not saying that Snakes on a Plane is a funny thing or a cool thing. It's actually a stupid thing.
It's real stupid. I don't even think it's funny at all, but Rim keeps saying it, and it's kind of annoying.
Goddamn!
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, basically, this movie called Snakes on a Plane. Apparently, that was the working title, and they were going to name it something else later. And the plot is basically, to sum it up, there are snakes on a plane. Like, really, that's all there is to this movie.
You see, now when he told me that, I was like, oh, that sounds like a scene in a movie. Maybe someone, you know, thought up a scene for a movie, couldn't find a movie to put it in, and just made a whole movie, but just the scene.
So apparently, Samuel L. Jackson heard about this movie and was all about it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that guy's thinking.
Yeah, maybe he's having fun. Maybe it's just, this is all just a scam and it's actually a big internet-based promotional viral marketing kind of thing.
I hope it's all just a giant joke. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, if the movie doesn't actually come out,
that
would just be great.
The thing is that knowing Hollywood, this is totally plausible. It's not even, you know.
Yeah, well, it's in the IMDb. And such, and there are pictures from it, and someone claimed to have seen it and reviewed it.
Whoa.
Or saw like a pre-advanced copy or something.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah.
Now, who are the people behind this stuff thinking this up, thinking it's a good idea, and doing it? Who are these people?
These are the same people who are making money.
Yeah.
Because I point out that Garfield made money.
Wow.
Garfield, God. That movie looked painful from the moment I heard it was going to happen.
I mean, Garfield the comic hasn't been funny in, like, over 10 years.
Ever.
And the funniest Garfield thing ever was the Halloween cartoon special.
Yes, with the pirates, the ghost pirates that tried to frickin' kill Garfield and Odie.
Yep, and the best part was when they went up to the houses and they weren't even, like, trick-or-treat. He was just like, gimme.
Yeah.
Gimme.
I should put that in Netflix and we'll watch it again.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically, there are good movies out there. I really want to see Jarhead. I want to see A Scanner Darkly. I heard The Corpse Bride was amusing.
I never heard of any of these three.
Yeah, we were talking before the show, and Scott was like, no good movie has come out in, like, ever. And I was thinking back, and I could think of a whole bunch of good movies that I want to see or that I did see.
I can't think of anything since, like,
Narnia.
Lord of the Rings. I don't want to see that.
The last Harry Potter movie.
Don't want to see that either.
You suck.
You suck.
Serenity.
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I guess you don't watch movies either, Mr. Doesn't Watch TV.
I watch movies when they're good or there's something to be excited about. Like, I have cautious optimism about
V for
Vendetta.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You poo-pooed every movie I mentioned, and yet you haven't.
I'm talking about the V for Vendetta movie that's coming real soon. I have cautious optimism about that one. But about all the other movies, I don't even know. I'm just like, whatever.
All right, but anyway, so we decided not to talk about that because it's basically Scott doesn't know about any movies coming out and doesn't like any of them anyway,
yeah,
and I do.
The point is that we're just pissed off that Hollywood makes so many bad movies. What are they thinking? Oh, my God.
More importantly, it's more that we don't go to movie theaters anymore,
mm-hmm.
And we used to fairly often. The thing is, I've been going to movie theaters more often lately, but not to see Hollywood movies, but to see either Serenity, which was the last movie I really wanted to see in a theater. And all these anime movies, just because we live near New York City, and I can go down and actually see anime movies in the theater.
Oh, yeah, like, it's so weird. The last time I was in a movie theater at all, I think, was when we went to see Episode 3, maybe?
No, we went to see Steam Boy.
Was that after we saw Episode 3?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and then, so I guess you saw Howl's Moving Castle after that, right?
I guess. I lost track. But yeah, we saw all those in the theater. But we watched mostly anime movies in theaters.
Yeah, but it's like sometime around when I got to college, you know, early on in college, you went to see movies at like Tinseltown semi-frequently.
Yeah, but I note that other than one movie, which we went to just because it was dumb, mm-hmm. Most movies we went to were like, we were looking forward to see the movie.
Yep.
And we were looking forward to seeing it in the theater, mm-hmm. Which is a separate component.
It was always like The Matrix something or Lord of the Rings something or the Star Wars something. That's what we were going to see there.
Now, while there are a lot of movies that come out that I like or that I want to see or that I'm really interested in, there hasn't been a movie since Serenity that I wanted to see in a theater or that I even considered worth the money to go to a theater to see there.
Yeah, like there are plenty of movies, and even though I don't find out about them, some of them, you know, they go up high enough on the scale when I do find out about them to be, like, willing to watch on DVD.
Yeah.
Why not? But there aren't many. Actually, there are horrendously few that make me get up out of my chair and go, to the movie theater, we must go.
Now, the problem with that is that the movie industry seems to be blaming the fact that theaters are doing really poorly on piracy.
And they blame it also on home theater. So, like, if people can get the home theater experience at home, why would they go to the theater, the real theater?
Yeah, not only that, but the fact that theaters show ads before movies angers me in a way that that it really shouldn't anger me as much as it does, but it does.
That's like the worst thing ever. Like,
oh, no, the worst thing ever was I was at a movie, and usually when the ads come on, we crack jokes loudly because, you know, they're ads, whatever. Someone actually yelled at me to be quiet while I was making a joke about the ads before the movie.
Wow.
I laughed so hard I about peed myself.
I just didn't know what to do. You should have peed on them.
Yeah, that was really the proper social thing to do.
I couldn't think of anything else to say right there.
Yeah, I mean,
I had to say something.
Yeah, whenever someone angers me in public, I'll pee on them. That's quite a plan there.
You know what? If I was just so badass that like no one could mess with me, that's like to someone who was so terrible, like the worst person ever, I totally just pee on them.
No, there's a better thing.
I'd be like, what are you going to do about it?
You go Horatio Hornblower on them. You challenge them to a duel. They cheat, and yet you still beat them. And then you decide not to kill them because it's not worth it.
Ooh. And if only dueling wasn't illegal.
Yeah. Of course, then he'll try to kill you again, but Captain Pellew will shoot him from afar.
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, I just ruined the first episode of Horatio Hornblower, but whatever.
No one cares.
Horatio Hornblower is fantastic. And if you care that was spoiled for you, you've already seen it.
Yeah. So, the thing is that it's not has nothing to do with me. Like, it's still very possible to get me excited about going to a movie theater. I mean, like I just said, I'm slightly optimistic about this V for Vendetta movie. And if, like, some people decide to go and I've got nothing better to do, I just might.
Yeah.
I might go.
But definitely the movie theater experience has degraded in the last 10 years to a point where it's almost impossible to make me want to go to a theater.
Yep. I mean, Lord of the Rings was like, woohoo, I'm going, no matter what. And if it came out now, I'd still feel the same way. I'd be like, get up, let's go. Lord of the Rings is in the theater. Let's go. But now the movie quality, just no. The ads, so, you know, just no. The price.
Yeah. Now, at least in general, I mean, in New York City, I can see a lot of cool movies in the theater, and I'm all about that. And I go to I used to go to the theater fairly often. I haven't been to the city in a while. I've been busy, but
yeah, it's like I remember we went down there once to see an anime movie in the little theater there, and they had a little sign that was like, at midnight we're showing Ghostbusters, and I was like, dude, if this was a theater closer to my house, I would be there in a second.
Yep. The problem is the only cool theaters that are left are in the big cities, so most people, they don't have the option to go to a cool theater like that.
Mm-hmm.
They either have the crap dollar theater that smells like pee or something. Like,
shutter.
The dollar theater near us smells like pee.
Really?
Yeah.
Not like the nice dollar theater in Rochester?
No, not like that one.
Where we saw Powerpuff Girls for 25 cents?
Yeah. I gotta say, that was probably the best value per unit entertainment I have ever received in my life.
We should get the DVD for that. I want to see it again.
Yeah, the power.
Good.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, the Powerpuffs movie is good.
Yeah, it's all dark and
yeah, it sounds stupid that, oh, it's dark, but it actually is. It's serious, but it's also funny.
Well, I also like the TV show a lot, too.
Yeah, I like the TV show. I like Dexter's Lab a lot.
Oh, Dexter. We should. I think all that stuff's on DVD, like Samurai Jack's on DVD, too.
You know what? I'll put it all in the queue.
Yeah, go get Netflix, the Cartoon Network, yo.
Yeah, even though our queue is at the point where we're not going to see anything we put in there for, like, 2 years.
Awesome.
See, that's the other thing that's killing theaters, in my opinion, is that, well, of course, it's also, I think, going to start hurting the anime industry a lot. And I keep talking about Netflix, and I swear they're not paying me. But before, if I wanted to see something, I either had to go to the theater, or I had to buy it, or I had to go to Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Blockbuster generally sucks.
Yeah.
Now, Netflix, I don't buy anything anymore. I've bought maybe 2 DVDs in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting the dollar DVDs when MediaPlay went out of business.
I only buy DVDs if it's something that I gotta own. Like, I bought all of Initial D, you know, or if it's something so crazy, like...
If it's something that I'll watch again and again.
Yep.
Or
something
if it's something...
you'll give to someone.
Yes, give to someone else is key. A lot of shows I want to own just because I want to lend them to other people.
Or something that there won't be a chance to get. Like, I bought that Macross box set.
Yeah, that was a good buy.
Now you can't get that shit. Even though I paid over $200 for it, you can't get that shit now.
Yep, now you got to buy the re-released one.
Yeah, the ADV re-release that's coming out now, probably for more money with a crummy dub on it. And
what do you care about the dub?
I don't, but that, you know, the point is that I got the real deal and I'm proud of it. I'm glad I got it.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is I don't think that Netflix really is killing the theater because we stopped going to the theater long before we got the Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix is definitely just like one more nail in an already sealed coffin.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for that, if we suddenly got Netflix and stopped going to theater, I'd be like, oh, obviously.
I mean, I guess if I think back, outside of anime movies and just crazy, like, weird movies, like when I saw that Nothing Lasts Forever movie in like a cool indie theater or something. there's maybe two movies a year that I actually want to see in the theater at this point. Out of how many movies are released every year?
Yeah, I don't know how many movies released every year.
A lot.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what I think? Back in the day, like I remember even when I was a little kid in the 80s, movies like were different. Like you would go there and there would be an intermission and it was sort of fancy.
I only had one intermission at a theater ever. And that's when I went to see Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet there. And they did the intermission because it's a freaking 4-hour movie.
When I was a little kid, we would always go to the movie theater and there was always an intermission, like until at some point in time, like intermissions just stopped happening. But every movie had one, even the 90-minute movies would have one.
And there would
always be a cartoon at the beginning, like a Bugs Bunny or something.
Wow, I never had cartoons at my theaters either.
Really?
No.
See, I think if they bring the old-style movie stuff back, like, take all the seats out of the movie theater and put, like, little tables with chairs around them, like in little nightclub places, and, you know, have little, you know, you get coffee or whatever, a little cafe action in there.
Huh.
And then, you know, bring the cartoon back before the movie, get rid of the ads, throw an intermission in there, you know. If you bring it back to the old school, you can still charge the same price that you do now.
Well,
maybe
actually,
even a little bit more.
You may not know this, but there's a growing market in adult movie theaters. Not adult movie theaters like, you know, what used to be on Times Square in the 80s. But apparently there's a lot of them in Texas now. I think it's a chain because people talk about it on FARC all the time. But basically they're theaters that, one, don't allow minors in, period.
Ooh.
So no kids. And they actually have ushers. So, like, if someone's a jerk or talking or on their cell phone, they'll just kick them out.
Awesome.
Like, immediately, like, sir, you have to leave. And the other thing is, they're also a restaurant. So you'll sit down, you can order, like, food and beer and some drinks at reasonable prices because there's actual a restaurant there instead of a concession stand, like, before and during the movie.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'd like to see this trend grow, because if there was a place like that within driving distance of me,
I might go to it weekly, or like if they had some sort, it would be extra cool. You get a place like that, right? Now, the still the problem that there aren't really movies I want to see. That solves every problem with the theater, but there's still the problem of I'm not going to go if there's some crap movie that kind of ruins it. Like you're eating a fancy dinner and then this crap comes on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Say there's a movie that's worth watching. Like not crap, but just a movie that's worth watching. And we were going to go out to dinner anyway, because, you know, whatever, it's Saturday.
Oh, we totally go there.
Yeah, because it doesn't cost that much more.
But here's the vision I just had. You ready?
All right.
Instead of waiting for good movies to come from Hollywood, because I don't bet a lot on that, what you do is you instead of selling, you know, tickets, you sell memberships. You become a member. And, like, members come there once a week or so, or something like that. And they show, they don't show new movies. They show whatever movie they find or want to show, and they always show something good. So, like, we're going to show this week. And it's a movie you might already know, or maybe, you know, the kind of things that are in our Netflix queue.
Ah.
You know, maybe, you know, just always something good. They'll never show a crap movie.
SARS Wars.
Yeah. You know, maybe something that no one knows about. Maybe something everyone knows about and, you know, loves. You know, just mix it all up. And it'll be, you know, always fun to go and hang out and watch all kinds of movies instead of just watching, you know, the movies for the Hollywood movies only cycle out like every few months, you know? So this will be a much faster cycling if there's a different movie every week.
Yeah, I'd like to see this trend, at least, of these types of places grow.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, I don't know, it is like a recent thing where when I was a little kid or even before I went to college, going to movie theaters, people didn't yell in the movie theater. Everyone shut up. You know, they'd laugh if something was funny, and they'd scream if it was scary, but people were quiet.
Yeah.
And sometime around college, like, this gradual change where people started to yell shit out, and, you know, cell phones, all right, whatever, someone forgot to turn it off. Maybe someone's a real asshole and they answer it.
Actually, a lot of times, there's the asshole who answers it, and then just talks.
Yeah, but that's something else. You know, cell phones is technology that would have happened anyway. But more people just yelling. Like, when we went to see Episode 2, long after it was already, you know, we didn't go see it at launch, we saw it well after. And some guys in the back were just yelling shit, you know, and they were yelling funny shit. But the point is like, people are more free to be kind of assholes in the theater now. I don't know what it is.
I could make a lot of social commentary. Maybe we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, I don't know when it's... I'd like to try to figure out exactly when it started happening and what the cause was. And
you know what?
Maybe when a certain generation became old enough to get to the movie theater on their own.
I think there's just a a picture on FARC that I saw a while ago that basically epitomizes exactly what I think is the root cause. And it shows a gravestone, and the name of the gravestone is Personal Responsibility. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. There was a lot of stuff to this picture.
Yep.
But, yeah. I mean, a long time ago, if someone was a jerk in a movie theater, there's a decent chance that someone would just pop him. And that would be the end of that.
Yep.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No, if you do that, you go to jail now. You
know? Not that I agree with the popping.
No.
But it was just not...
I agree with the deserving of the popping.
Yeah.
But not the popping
itself.
Well,
it's itself. Like when that friend of ours got into a fight at Otakon over some stupid crap. And the Otakon staff, after the fact, in the back room were like, man, you don't start a fight. I mean, especially not in the con. That's not cool. But goddamn, that kid deserved it.
Yeah, it's one thing to say someone deserves violence, like, that guy deserves to be shot, but it's another thing, you know, to actually shoot him, because it's like, okay, you might deserve it, but you don't shoot people, because it's wrong, no matter if they deserve it or not, you know?
Yeah, but basically,
it's hard to explain that.
Yeah, but it seems like, you know what, it's easy to explain, you watch Trigun.
Yeah, that's a good one, that's a good one.
But basically, it seems more that, in recent years, it's become less and less of a social stigma to be an asshole.
Well, here's the thing, though, is like, I'm an asshole.
You're a different kind of asshole.
And I don't care about politeness or rudeness, but, you know, I don't care about what you say, I only care about what you do, but just making noise when someone's trying to pay attention to a movie,
well,
that's not a
this.
Matter of politeness and rudeness.
Yes, it is. It's polite to not be loud.
Well, it's a matter of actually... You know, creating a physical disturbance, not just upsetting someone's feelings. You see the point?
Yeah, yeah, I see your point. But the point is that people have gotten this idea that, I mean, I believe in a free society. I believe that everyone has the right to be an asshole, an idiot, a jerk, whatever the hell they want to be. Mm-hmm. If you want to be an ignorant, horrible, racist asshole, that's your prerogative, and I'm fine with that. Because
I don't have to like you or talk to you.
Yeah, in fact,
I
have the right to ridicule you if I want.
Yeah.
If you want to believe in some horrible things, you know, run around jihad, whatever, or if you're like Oral Robertson Pat, you know, just recently said that Jews can't get into heaven, whatever, you can say whatever you want. But the thing is, just because you can do something doesn't mean you always should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can just start yelling in a movie theater. It's the movie theater's right to kick me out, and it's everyone else's right to not like me and hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that people would at least avoid that sort of behavior when they knew it would cause a problem. Or at least there was a stigma about that sort of behavior. I mean, if you talked in a movie theater, everyone would look at you like, what the hell? But now, people just start doing these things all the time.
I think part of it might be our, like, detachment from strangers. Like, you go to the movie theater with your friends, and the only people there that you really acknowledge are your friends. So if your friends are all about being quiet, you're going to be all about being quiet.
But that makes sense.
If your friends are all about yelling, you'll be all about yelling. And strangers, you don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like,
and especially...
I remember, like, when I was a kid, we would talk to neighbors on the street. You would be like, hey, what's up? I knew who they were.
Wow, we never did that.
Yeah, we knew, you know... It was, and people around town were friendly. Like, you could just walk down the street and say hi to people, you know? You didn't even know them.
Yeah, well, I'll point out that I grew up in, like, the other America. I grew up in, like, suburbia, like, black hole sun suburbia.
Yeah.
And all our neighbors, like, we didn't talk to anyone because we had nothing in common with any of our neighbors at all.
We don't really have as much in common with them other than that they were our neighbors. So
yeah. Well, our neighbors
were
all like
them.
Homeowners association types, and they'd sit around, and the only time they'd ever talk to anyone is like, I see you're putting up a fence. Yes, I am. I don't think that a fence is really a good thing to put up in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of talk.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they'd actually, we've gone long, so I guess I'll end here with a funny anecdote. So when I was a kid, I had a cordless headset phone.
We should just call it Thursday's Nostalgia Day.
Yeah. That seems to be what we're doing today. But I had this headset. I don't think I told this story. I had this headset phone, and it was cordless. And it wasn't a cell phone. It was just a cordless headset phone that I used all the time because I talked on the phone a lot. And I would climb out onto my roof from my window at night and just kind of like hang out up there and talk to my friends on the phone. The neighbors talked to my parents one day, and they asked what was wrong with their son. With me. Yeah, apparently they saw me walking around on the roof yelling at people, like yelling at voices or something. They didn't know that I was on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't conceive of the fact that I was on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
The point I was going to make before I got way off topic and told an anecdote, was that all my life, most of my friends, until I got to college, were all over the world because my friends were based on like interests and similar culture. And I didn't make friends based on geography because most of the people around me weren't interested in anything I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to college and there were a bunch of people around me who were interested in the same things and we formed this tight group. Now we've all spread to the wind again and now all my friends are far away. I don't know anyone other than... I know two people in the entire city that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But I know hundreds of people all over the country and almost every... just everywhere. And I'm better friends with them than I am with people who live 20 feet away from me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm better friends with, you know, people...
But, like, I have nothing
interest.
To say to these strangers. I mean, every now and then I talk to someone, but I never really engage them. I don't remember them.
You don't engage them, but you kind of, like, acknowledge them and, you know, you have a sort of... There seems to be, like, this more detachment from people around you. Like, it used to be people your friends were your friends and your family was your family, but at least people who were near you, you had, you know, something, some, like, loose connection with anyone who happened to be near you, and it was positive.
See, I've never
now,
had that.
There seems to be, like this, like, if someone's near you and you don't know who they don't exist.
See, I guess I've never had that. I've never had any sort of connection to the people who were close to me geographically. I mean, I never knew my neighbors, except when I was a really, really little kid living in downtown Detroit. I knew all my neighbors, but I never knew neighbors as I was growing up as a kid. I know my neighbors now. When we lived at RIT, not only did I not know my neighbors, other than the horrible deaf people upstairs. Now, they're not horrible because they were deaf. They're horrible because they were horrible, and they happened to be deaf.
See, I would know our neighbors around here if we had more of them. Like, I know the old lady next door and the old lady downstairs. We don't really have any other neighbors.
The most I knew about any of our neighbors back when we lived in college was that the neighbors next door knocked a hole in their wall once, and I saw it through their door.
Yep.
I didn't even know anyone in my major at RIT. I didn't know anyone in my major other than one of my friends who happened to be in the major, but I knew him outside of the major.
I knew plenty of people in my major.
I didn't know anyone.
Quite a few. They were on the acquaintance level. Like, you know who they are. You know their name. You give them a nod when you see them. You know, you say hello, meet and greet, small talk. But not, like, hang out, go hang, you know, do stuff with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me, I had very few acquaintances like that. Most of the acquaintances I had were from other things. They weren't from proximity. They were from,
yeah,
like,
I got a
the
lot
anime
of acquaintances.
Club.
Like, you know, I see people all the time. It's like, oh, I know you from somewhere. Hey. All right, see ya.
I don't really engage acquaintances unless I'm, you know, it's like a fan of a show or like back when I ran the club when it was people who knew me because I ran the club. But other than that, I just don't engage people.
Yeah. I mean, it's not about really so much engagement when it comes to the movie theater. It's about
it's attachment.
Acknowledging the existence of the other people and the fact that they're there.
I guess I really don't. I'm guilty of that.
Well.
But at the same time, I'm generally quiet in movies, so I don't cause a problem.
Oh, yeah, I'm also the quiet in movies. But also, what I do in movies is, you know, I try to, like, you know, because when we watch a movie at home, we always say funny stuff, or, you know, depending on the movie, of course.
Yep.
So when we're in a movie theater, I'll always try to, like, you know, whisper to the friends next to me, like, oh, my God, you see that? Oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah, Scott's that guy.
Yeah, but I don't think... The people next to me, and usually my friends, can hear me. So, like, if I whisper to the friend on the right, sometimes the friend on the left gets pissed. But usually the people in the front of me and back of me don't seem to get pissed. So, you know, I try to, you know, keep it quiet.
All right, anyway, it was a rambly episode, and I think we're about done here.
Yeah, that's what you get when it snows.
Yeah, not only did it snow, but we've got a crazy weekend planned with all our friends are coming out.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to start, I think, our themed weeks.
Yeah, we're not sure what theme we're going to do next week, but we're doing something.
Something awesome.
Yeah.
I think the theme week will really help us put up the quality back up.
Yeah, the quality's been up pretty good, except I think the Penny Arcade...
The quality, the content, I mean.
I think the content's been all right.
That's all right.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's been in the past.
Yeah, well, we've had some good episodes. We've had some crap episodes. That's the problem with doing, you know, four podcasts a week is that the quality will vary depending on, you know, everything in the world.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's something we got to accept, but I really think the theme weeks will also help us try to figure out what to do when we're like, I don't know what to do on Thursday, uh-oh.
Yep, because Tuesday and Wednesday are cake, and Monday is cake now because we got a whole list of things we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday is just up in the air.
Yep. But
all the things we've got planned for Thursday, we're still working out, you know, getting the interviews prepared, getting the research and material together.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff where it's like, oh, we should do that. Oh, we have to research something, and then we never do because our lives are so rushed and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but if we did a one-day-a-week podcast, it would be the longest, most well-researched, awesome podcast in the world.
Probably. If we did 3 days a week, it would be so, it would, like, the quality would go up like a zillion.
Yeah, we're not going to cut down anytime soon, though, because everyone who listens seems to really like the four-day-a-week deal.
Yeah, plus, this will keep it so, like, anyone new comes along, they'll be stuck way in the back archives. Or, it'll look really impressive when we have, like, a hajillion episodes.
Yeah, we've got 68 episodes, not counting the secret episodes that none of you are ever going to
listen
to.
Like, there are podcasts that started in, like, 2004 and such that don't even have 100 episodes yet. They're still, like, struggling, you know, and whatever. Eat my ass, or shorts.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got through all the hurdles of podcasting very quickly.
Yeah, eat the dust, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, why did you say ass?
I don't know, I like saying ass.
Ass?
Ass.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.